Ready to kick it off here? All right, let's do it. Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Thursday, October 7th. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday, October 7th. It is Thursday, October 7th. I keep worrying about the date now that I've got the date wrong because I said it wrong on Tuesday. So it is Thursday, October 7th. On today's show, the Pentagon issues a scary warning about the debt ceiling to Congress. Yes, you heard me right. The Pentagon is weighing in on this now. And coming up on the show, student loan forgiveness. President Biden set to wipe away almost $5 billion in student loan debt. Do you qualify for this new student loan debt program? Maybe it's a revised program that was really a failure before. We'll tell you about it. And new jobs numbers just out moments ago. What does this mean for the economy? Is it a harbinger? There's your word of the day, harbinger. Is it a harbinger of trouble in the economy? Or is it a sign of good news in the economy? Let's get uncomfortable on this Thursday. It's time for Morning Invest to start right now. And good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest. How are our new sweatshirts and fall wardrobe coming along?
Good. I just was looking at and approving t-shirts yesterday. Let me see if I can,
because I got my Morning Invest hoodie on right now, but we've got a bunch of new stuff hitting very, very soon in the store. So I'm excited about that.
So let me just show one that we were playing with. Okay. We don't know if this will be a final yet, but how does that always switch around? Okay. Let me go to here. Here we go. Here's one that we're working on. Control plus.
You can take that full. I'm hard.
Is it not full?
Well, I'm still on the screen.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. How do I take you off? Here we go. Ooh, Inception. Whoa. There you go. Nothing makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
That's right. That's right, Judge.
So that's one of them. And then we're working on other things and putting logos on the back of them. So let me see. Where was I?
Socialist state sweatshirts. Stephanie Rossi says, I want socialist state sweatshirts. Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea. I would love it.
Yeah. And then that would be the back.
Cool.
These are just rough designs, but
yeah, these are roughs, but all coming together for the fall. Coming together for the fall. All right. Yeah, let's dive into it today on the show. Let's start with this new jobs report that just came out. So we just got these jobs numbers in a few minutes ago. Let's dive into it. The United States has posted a bigger than expected drop in these new jobless claims last week. So that is good news as impacts related to Hurricane Ida and the Delta variant's big summer spike have now receded. Although I don't know if you saw this news. Do you see this news this morning that the CDC is now like warning us about a massive flu outbreak that we could have in this winter? Can't we
aren't we over the flu?
Winter? I thought last year we didn't have any flu, right? No one had the flu. Why this year suddenly are we going to now have the flu? Well, I don't get it. Are we just so that's what the CDC is warning this morning.
We're Maybe it's a flu variant.
Well, they're all flu variants. There is no one flu, right? When you get the flu shot, it only targets like the top three or four biggest ones. And then you've got 174 strains that you hope, you know, maybe not hit you. I don't know. Anyway. Anyway, we got past this. You know, we got past the Delta variant craziness, although that's still out there. But as far as the summer jobs numbers, so this is a good sign. Jobless claims totaling 326, that's much lower than 345 they expected. The Labor Department released its weekly jobless claims report just a few moments ago. The biggest headline here in all of this, though, I have to say, is this ended a three-week streak of increases in new jobless claims. So that's a good sign. So this is the first time in 3 weeks where we haven't had a huge, like a big surge in people filing for unemployment benefits. But on the other side of this, you could say, wait a minute, didn't we also just pull back on all of these additional unemployment benefits for people? So that's some of it, but mostly it just means that people haven't filed additionally separate from any COVID-related. So that's good news. Some economists saying that that because of an uptick in coronavirus cases and disruptions due to Hurricane Ida, that we went through that. Now we're coming out of that stage. And so that's why we're seeing these numbers. I'd be curious, you know, in the chat, let me know here. Have you guys in the chat, like Dean Thomas says, yeah, 20,000 less. That is good news. 20,000 still. But nonetheless, how many of you have been like looking for work or been trying to get back out there, or your job just isn't existing, doesn't exist anymore? You're saying, I don't want to go back to this crappy job that's going to pay me really low wages, make me work, you know, 80 hours a week. I'm just curious your situation. Drop me a chat here. I'd be curious about that. So as of the week ending September 18th, about 4.2 million workers were claiming benefits across all unemployment programs, compared to about 5 million for the week before. So obviously they've come down because President Biden has allowed these unemployment, federal unemployment benefits to expire on September 6th. However, even prior to that, total numbers had also been trending lower, which is good. So there's rehiring activity picked back up. We saw that companies basically said, hey, we're over the Delta variant. Like, companies are like, hey, we're over COVID. We're going to hire as many people as we can. We need to get people back in, you know, working at the McDonald's and trying to give you additional bonuses and whatnot. Companies basically shook off the worries about Delta, and there we saw a faster than expected pace in September, according to the Wednesday report. So Wednesday's report on hiring from ADP, from the payroll processing company, and then we have the jobs report this morning for unemployment benefits. So when you combine all of that, do you feel better about things? You know, private jobs rose by about 568,000 for the month. That's better than the Dow Jones had estimated. That's almost 100,000 more people went back to work than before, which is great. And you know how they always have to revise the jobs numbers every month because they're always wrong? I don't know why they're always wrong, right? So August, when we had the jobs report in August, the initial report showed growth of 374 back in August. So then they revised it down to 340. So it initially it showed 374, and then they revised it down about 30. How do you get it wrong? Like, if you and I were running a business and we were off by 34,000, like every month,
we'd be in jail.
Can't they figure? We'd be in jail. Can't they just figure that into their overall numbers? Right? Can't they just can't we just know that they're always going to be wrong?
No, because that makes it too transparent.
I guess so.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. Well, you know, it's just wrong all of the time. It just makes no sense at all. You know, like, and we're supposed to just believe them. That's the great part, right? We're supposed to just believe these guys because these guys are authority, aren't they? These guys have like supreme authority. These guys work at the Labor Department. So these guys know these numbers inside and out. How many people, you know, we're supposed to just back off, right? We're supposed to just back off, man.
And what
back
we
off, man. I'm a scientist.
Oh, you're a okay.
We're to believe that they just sit there and crunch numbers all day. Like they don't, you know, like they don't have lives or anything. They're just sitting there crunching these numbers and trying to figure it out. And yet they just happen to be off. These the experts are off every month.
Right. Every month. 30,000, 50,000. Like, okay. You're just off that much. So good news on the jobs report number. I mean, at least if we want to look at these sort of preliminarily here, you know, and wait till they revise these probably down a little bit later. So if look, Dean Thomas pointed out in our chat, 20,000, right? That's 20,000 less than they anticipated. Great. Until we get the revised numbers in November for October and we find out that they're 40,000 people off. So it's not as good as we think it is. But right now, as it stands today, more companies are hiring. Okay. There's a strong uptick in hiring. Great news. And then we're also seeing people that aren't filing unemployment benefits as much. That has also gone down. So I'm going to be, you know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. You know me, right? I'm a glass half full. So I think this is good news for the economy overall. Now, the real question I have is what is going to happen with the Federal Reserve? Because now that we're getting this good jobs number, and also what's going to happen with the stimulus? This is more fuel to Joe Manchin's fire, isn't it? Mm. This is more fuel to Kirsten Sinema's fire. That hey,
well, actually,
we don't
no,
need.
It's more donations to her PACs.
right. She'll take money for other things, but you know, as long as it relates to the stimulus, she won't spend money. But this is really going to pull back on any kind of stimulus. You know, And I really think you're going to see that from the Federal Reserve. They're going to really start moving towards this tapering program for Wall Street. We're going to start to see more calls now to not have a, be a $3.5 trillion stimulus. You can, I can take that to the bank. Take that to the bank. Andy McKendrick, thank you for your $5 super chat. Andy says, I finally got a raise from $11.40 an hour to $13.12 an hour. It's not much, but it's a step in the right direction. That's good news, Andy. Giving you so not quite $2 raise. You know, by the way, I'm curious, Andy, what company? You don't need to drop another super chat, but just tell me what company, Andy. I'm curious.
I think I came up with a solution for the minimum wage, maximum wage thing. I was thinking the perfect setup, I believe, would be that a company's executives can't make more than 75% of their lowest paid employee. You give them 75% more. That way they're still getting a nice chunk, even 100%. You could go 100%. Because what did Dan Price say that the original was 400% difference?
Yeah, it was like it was like 400% that he was, he as the CEO of his company was making than the lowest employee in his company.
Yeah. So you could do it. So with some of these companies, I guarantee it's a lot higher than that. So like Bezos, I wonder what the percentage is of what he makes versus what his, but anyway, if you made it like a, even 100%, then you've got your, then you know that they would, you know, like your lowest paid employee would be paid no less than 100% of the executives, and then the problem solved.
Yeah. The problem is though, that of course they would roll in their bonuses as totally separate from salary. You know, they're like, oh, well, hey, I make $120,000 a year, but I get a $40,000 or I get a $20 million bonus for profits, you know, like that's it's over the, there's always a loophole, you know.
Yeah,
there's
but
always
you'd have a loophole. You'd have to close that. Like they could have a bonus too that would have to, you could take 100% of that and or a certain percentage of that, and the rest has to get passed down as to employees. Like you could do it. It would just mean you would have to, you know, hurt the people that donate to you.
So keep an eye out for Andy's. Andy sent me that super chat about his company that he just got a raise. I just want to see him drop another answer to my question in here. Like, what company do you? I mean, if you don't have to tell me what company you work for, but if you want to tell me, I'm just curious. You know who? Because hey, if it's a larger company and they're actually paying employees more, good. You know, I want to give them a shout out. You know, they're certainly not hitting $23 an hour, which is still at a poverty wage, but still, hey, you know. Highline Plastics in Olathe, am I saying that right? Olathe, Kansas? Highline Plastics. All right, Andy. Well, hey, I guess they're doing something. They're giving workers a little bit more money, which is good. Hey, we've got more news to get to. We're going to get to what's going on with the stimulus, the debt limit, the debt ceiling, and all of the craziness in Washington. You don't want to miss that. We're going to break that all down for you in a moment. We're also going to talk about this massive student loan forgiveness program that President Biden is rolling out last night by the Department of Education. And we're going to talk about these workers going on strike and why the mainstream media just is seemingly ignoring it. But this is a massive, massive story. And the mainstream media is just not even really talking about it. I'm sure you probably won't see it in your newspaper at all, workers on strike, unless it happens to be in your backyard.
No, it's one of those things where you only see it if you just happen to drive over in that neck of the woods. And you're like, what's going on over here?
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Amazon workers up in Canada are organizing, and they're about to form a union there. So they can do it in Canada. Can't do it here, though. Can't do it in the United States, right? God knows.
Union and healthcare? Wow.
Yeah. Union and healthcare. Right. They've already got healthcare taken care of from their government. And now they're going to be unionized and get better wages, better hours, et cetera, in Canada. So again, Amazon, it's founded in Seattle, right? And treats their workers like crap in the United States. But hey, when Amazon opens up in Europe and other places in Canada, guess what? You know what? That those countries have different feelings about how workers should be treated, except how we treat people in the United States. Anyway, we'll get to all of that news and more. So stick it here. Stick it here. Stick here. Stick it here.
Stick around. Stick it right here.
Stick it here. Stay right here. Stick it here. Stay right here. I want to tell you about our friends. This is an amazing. So if you guys pay way too much for health insurance, okay, this is an amazing company. I spoke to the company last week and went through and trying to understand how are they able to do this. This is CrowdHealth. And I'm telling you, this is an amazing way for you can get the best healthcare out there without wasting time and money on crazy health insurance, okay? And what they've done is they've cut out the middleman. And I mean, I can go into their story about their founder and like why they were just so upset about the sky high rising costs of health insurance. I mean, unbelievable how more than half of Americans are on a high deductible health insurance plan. In the chat right now, everyone let me know, what do you guys pay for your deductible for health insurance?
I'm going to tell you right deductible. Now. When I tried to get insurance through the website, the Obamacare, whatever that website is called. I was looking at $1,000 a month. Jeez. with where I'm at. And I'm like, I can't justify $1,000 a month for something I might use once every 3-4 years. You know what I mean?
Well, what about $99 a month?
Yeah.
How does that sound? So that's Crowd Health. And Crowd Health is giving our audience right now amazing prices because of its community of health conscious members. They have an amazing offer just for my listeners. Get your first 6 months for just $99 per month. That's a savings of almost 50% versus their standard pricing, a lot less than one of those crappy high deductible plans that David was just talking about. If you go to the, you have to go to the URL on your screen right there. So it's joincrowdhealth.com/99 and you have to enter the code INVEST, okay? You have to use that code INVEST. It's Crowd Health is not a health insurance company. It's a community powered alternative. Terms and conditions may apply, but it's a better way to pay for medical expenses. It's a community of people who are tired of paying for a broken system. It's a place where you can get a simple, flexible, and affordable way to pay for your health care. So being inside of the Crowd Health community can save hundreds of dollars a month and put thousands of dollars back in your pocket. I love this company, and I love that they're sponsoring the show. This is the thing. When you do a show like ours, where you care about people, you care about workers, you care about talking about like our broken healthcare system in the United States, all of that, you attract the right companies to our show, you know? And that's why I'm super excited to tell you about Crowd Health. So, you know, just even go to the website and just watch the video, like even if you're not really sure, but check out that link at the bottom of the screen. That's the URL you need to go to, joincrowdhealth.com/99, so you can get that $99 and use the code INVEST. Give it a shot. Check them out. Learn more about what they do. Yeah. TJ in our chat says he pays $750 a month. I mean, you want to save like $600 right now? Like, holy smokes, right? Lori Goodpaster says, once I meet my $2,600 deductible, everything is covered. Whew. My God. This is America. Like, this is the kind of innovation, though, that we need in America with these types of companies. So thanks to Crowd Health for supporting the show. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Cade Nestergaard says $3,000. Holy smokes. Arlene says $1,500. $5,000 with a $3,000 individual maximum, Brenda says. Faith Scott says $1,600. United States. Greatest country in the world. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. We've got some big debt news to talk about this morning. Pretty ominous warning signs this morning from the Pentagon. And we're going to talk about what's going on with the Pentagon side of this. We're also going to talk about the latest from Mitch McConnell. But I don't need to tell you, right, that October 18th, like, we're still facing this deadline down. And even if we punt it for a few months, it's still there. So what happened yesterday? Well, Senator Mitch McConnell, Turtle Boy, offered a stopgap deal to stop the coming default. And it looks like Senate Democrats are going to accept it so we can all maybe breathe just a little bit easier for a few months. I mean, look, all you need to do is look at Wall Street this morning. They're super happy that we're going to kick the can down the street for a few months. That's it. A few months. And then we're right back at it again. So into December. Why not solve the problem now? You know, I'm reminded of things that my dad taught me growing up, right? He's like, why do you make it harder on yourself? Like, just get it done now. Do it now. Why would you wait and want to push it till later? You know, why do you want to procrastinate? Like, if you already know that the issue exists, it's just going to metastasize into a bigger cancer later on, right? So anyway, Republicans do not want to authorize a full solution to the debt problem. They just want to increase the limit through December, as long as there's a specific number assigned to the limit.
That's why I get so irritated when we hear somebody, when they come out from, like Biden comes out and he's like, we just did something and it is going to help 40% of hungry kids in this country. 40%. And you're thinking, right. What about the other percent? Like, what right. about the other kids? It's like they always do these half-ass measures and we're supposed to celebrate when really it's, like you said, it's just kicking a can down a road when we have the means to take care of 100%.
Exactly.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Judge. I couldn't have said it better myself, Judge. You always say it so good with that glass of Merlot in your hand. Look, they will not agree to any measures that allow for more borrowing through December of 2022. This means that lawmakers will be right back in here in 2 months. So the debt at hand is for spending that was approved by both parties over the last few years, but specifically Republicans, who ran up the deficit massively under Trump. So why don't Republicans want to approve it? You know, why they approved it already. Why don't they now want to actually approve the means to pay for it? So Jen Psaki yesterday, you know, I don't usually play a lot of the press conferences, but I thought that this was funny. It hit the nail right on the head here. How she took on Mitch McConnell yesterday at this press conference. Watch this.
Despite the fact that under the last administration, nearly $8 trillion in bills was compiled. I think I have a little chart here just to give you a little visual. Almost $8 trillion. During the Trump administration, $676 billion during the Biden administration. So what Senator McConnell is refusing to do is to pay the debts of what were rung up under his leadership when he was in the Senate, still continues to be, of course, and when Trump was president. The debt limit is about paying for bills we have already spent. It is not about initiatives that we're talking about and debating now. And
pretty good. It's pretty good. But just think about that, though, for a moment, though, right? Under Biden, that 700, like I was zeroing in on that number, too. Like under Biden, we've already increased our debt $767 billion, right? Like I know it's $8 trillion to $767 billion, you know? Yeah, it is military. I mean, that's where most of our money goes, right? Almost all of it goes to that. So Republicans are concerned about approving debt for current spending while Democrats sign on to more spending for President Biden's $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan. The thinking is that if the debt problem still looms through the fall, then the infrastructure spending won't get very far. You know, it's a huge gambling right now. You know, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned yesterday in the Treasury Department that we're staring down into a catastrophe right now. And like I've said, this is the case. Now so much so that the Pentagon is getting in on this discussion. So, you know, Lloyd Austin, who is the Secretary of Defense, getting in on this yesterday. And I thought it was really interesting that now you're seeing the Pentagon weigh in on this question about debt. So much so that the Pentagon is saying that this is a national security crisis that we are staring down. So that's Defense Secretary right there, Lloyd Austin. He says that the political gridlock would seriously harm our troops, I love this, contractors, and America's ability to defend itself.
Right.
Right. Right. So this is, you know, he's saying this is going to be a major problem. So this is what I think. I think he's absolutely saying this, so he's going to get Republicans on board with this. This is like one of those moments. It's a perfect way to try to get Republicans to the table, or both parties, to quit their whining and come to the table, right? It's going to hurt our troops, and it's going to hurt our ability to defend ourselves. Well, that's something that both parties can agree to run up the amount of money that they spend on defense, right? So he says, if the United States defaults, it would undermine the economic strength on which our national security rests, he said. It would also seriously harm our service members and their families because, as secretary, I would have no authority or ability to ensure that our service members, civilians, or contractors would be paid in full or on time. He says the department may not be able to dole out benefits to $2.4 million military veterans, nor issue payments to federal contractors. Ah, there's... So I love how they couch it as, were concerned about the families of the military, right? I wouldn't be able to give them their health benefits and the things that we pay for our military members and also to our federal contractors. The billions that we owe our federal contractors. Like, let's be honest. You know, you've already authorized billions of dollars in funding for these different companies, Boeing, back, on and on and on, right? That's why people like Boeing, the heads of Boeing and Northrop Grumman, they're on the phone with Congress telling them, hey, you owe us. You owe us money. We have a contract. We've already sent you the airplanes. Where's our money?
Well, not just that. People don't. That's why I was saying I would love to see itemized receipts from what we spend over there, because like I've heard things of like $30 cans of soda, you know, like $100 to do half a load of laundry, like just insane prices that they charge us, that these contractors charge the United States just to make extra money, just because they can.
Right. Ula Hula says Pentagon audit is missing $11.5 trillion. We should never trust them. Well, David Foley says in our chat, was Turtle Boy letting himself be Biden's puppet? I don't know. I don't get this whole Biden's puppet thing. You know, Hannity last night slammed Mitch McConnell saying, stop being a swamp creature for like caving on the debt limit thing. It's like, okay, what, you think that Mitch McConnell is the ultimate swamp creature? What are you taught? Stop acting like one. He is the epitome of a swamp creature. He's a swamp turtle. It's all he is. What are you talking about? Anyway, the Pentagon's chief stark warning comes in an increasingly tense standoff between the White House and Republicans in Congress, who have opposed Democratic attempts to raise America's debt limit as a way to rail against President Biden's domestic agenda. So basically, you know, as Austin says, our service members and Department of Defense officials line up, live up to their commitments. My hope is that as a nation, we will come together to ensure that we meet our obligations without delay or without disruption. We've got to pay our contractors billions of dollars for random crap that we don't even need, like aircraft that will sit there mothballed and dusty. Oh, and what about our Space Force? You know, that's our next sixth branch of the military. We got to ramp up spending there. Got to make sure we pay the Space Force contracts.
So we can build new force. An interstellar force for good.
We'll stick our interstellar boot up your ass. Man, unbelievable. So we could see this agreement put in place, the debt limit of the debt crisis averted for another few months. And then what? And then what, we move forward on the reconciliation package. We have Mitch McConnell, or we have Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema being painted as heroes by the mainstream media. And now with this good jobs report, you're going to see more and more. I dare you to flip on. Don't put on mainstream media. Don't put on cable news. Please, 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 whatever you do. That's why you watch this show. But if you have to, you know, flip on CNBC or any of the other business networks, and they're all going to be saying the same thing. Look at this jobs numbers. Why do we need to be spending any more money on stimulus? Well, I can answer that for you, because we have an unbelievable number of Americans, upwards of 50 million Americans, who are basically in that poverty level, who have inadequate health care, who can't pay for basic medicines. We have an education system that's absolutely crumbling. You want a bigger laundry list? We could keep going on and on and on about our failing infrastructure. I mean, our healthcare system in the industrialized world is last. But we can keep pretending that it's the greatest because we keep making sure that all these big corporations get these massive profits. And that's our main concern. But I love this. I mean, I just love the way that this is painted. I just love that this is a national security issue. Like, I'm just cutting through the smoke on this, guys. I mean, this is BS, right? We can't pay our federal contractors. This is all about how do we make sure that these defense contractors get their money. That's it.
The United States is like the Wolf Lodge. You ever seen those Wolf Lodges that have the great big... Yeah, and you're like, oh my gosh, this place looks like it's going to be cool. Then you stay in one and you're like, Oh my God.
Mm. Yeah, the rose is off the shine is off the bloom. What is it? The
yeah. shine the, something yeah. like that.
You're like, it's not quite as, you know.
This is not what it appeared to be in the brochure.
Eating at this cafeteria, and this spaghetti, is this spaghetti that they're serving here? Because I
like the sauce doesn't even stick to the noodles. Yeah, is this ketchup?
Did I just get Legionnaire's disease from this wave pool? I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Good analogy. So that's the very latest on this debt ceiling. We've got more news to get here. I want to talk about this massive new student loan forgiveness plan. Will you qualify? We'll break down who qualifies for this. We'll also look at the workers' strike and workers demanding more. Plus, we'll take your super chats. We've got more news. We're going to keep diving, too. If we get more news on this jobs numbers as that kind of comes in here, I'm going to be able to go a little bit deeper on that. But I want to quickly tell you about our friends over at Harry's. When's the last time you looked in the mirror?
About... just before the show when I was brushing my teeth.
Like, have you really looked in the mirror? That beard that you grew over the last year was a hot new thing for you, wasn't it? For a minute anyway, but now it's just hot outside. And you need to tame that bad boy. Well, Harry's can help. Harry's can help. If you're heading back to the office, right? Time to get back to that fresh, clean, all business look. Let Harry's help. Your morning routine, shower, shave, and well, you know, Harry's can make two of those things a little bit easier and better for you. So
I just want to add, if you do sign up for this starter kit and you have a spouse, get two razors.
Oh, yes.
Because she will steal it.
My wife steals my Harry's razor and it drives me crazy because I go to the sink and I'm like, where is my razor? And I look in the shower and it's in the shower. I'm like, what? She's like, oh, yeah, I used it. And she has no remorse about it. Like, she's like, yeah, I stole your razor. I'm like, but you have all these like fancy like women's razors that are shaped like an egg and stuff, you know? Like what?
Yeah, isn't there a Sherry's Razor Club?
Yeah, yeah. No, there's not. There's no Sherry. But she's like, well, your Harry's razor, it's way better than mine. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll buy two. So that's why I go through razors. What's great about them though is the refill blades start as low as $2. It's an easy decision. It's really great. Harry's customers get their starter set. You can get a starter set, which includes a five blade razor, weighted handle, and you get the foaming gel. By the way, there's the best shave gel ever.
It is good.
And
gel.
A travel. Yeah,
it smells
it's
good
the only
too.
One to use. And I got a travel cover. All it's a $13 value. You just get it for $3. You just pay the shipping. Harry's offers a whole range of amazing face and body care for men, all delivered right to your door. I'm a huge fan of Harry's, and here's how you get that starter kit for $3. It's never been easier. And hey, this would be like a perfect gift for the holidays, right? Order it early, put it in the stocking stuffer, and start a trial and say, hey, I'm ordering this for you, honey. It's never been easier. Go to harrys.com/invest to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. Go to harrys.com/invest right now to get this special offer. That's harrys.com/invest. Kristen, I'm not going to go there, but yeah. That's what you're doing in the shower. Oh, grab some more coffee, guys. We got some more news to get to here on the show. We absolutely do. It's a busy show.
Derek, the reason you saw the Harry's ad on Facebook just now is because they heard us talking.
Oh, is that right? They do? Did they do that?
Derek just said he saw Harry's advertisement on Facebook.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to try this little insert ad thing here. Just let me know in the chat how many of you guys, and let it play. Let it play for 30 seconds or whatever. There's a new feature here. I want to try this and see if this works on our show. Ready? And here I'm going to go click it. Tell me if you see an ad. You guys see an ad at all?
Yep, I see it. Where did you go, Clayton?
You? Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Where'd I go?
I actually tried that once, and nobody said they saw an ad.
Huh?
So I don't. I think if you have YouTube Premium, you won't see one.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if you got YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
Got YouTube Premium. People want to know where Grover was. So, let's see. Arlene says, "Oh, it's so nice of you to share your razor with." I think it was Arlene said, it's so nice of you to share your razor with your wife and Grover. Kristen says, ooh, an ad did pop up. Yes, Mark says, yes, an ad there. Huh. Anyway, so no, I do not share my razor with Grover because that would definitely clog my razor up, I would think. Absolutely. But I did take Grover to the beach this morning, so people wonder where he is. So this was our time on the beach this morning. And he's just like super fast. He's like my speed demon. Chasing after some surfers.
I like his harness.
Yeah, because you know you want to pull him around the neck or anything, you know?
Yeah.
And when I pull that out, he starts bouncing. Like, he's like, oh, we're going on a walk, Daddy. We're going on a walk. We're going on a walk. He loves to chase the seagulls, but he's, like, super fat. You can't keep up. Like, there's no way I could outrun this guy.
That's awesome how he's running toward you and he's kind of looking at you. Is this all on your iPhone?
Yeah.
Damn. The dynamic range on that phone is just unbelievable.
I know. It's crazy with, like, the sunlight hitting a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a little speed demon.
You should next time get that in some super sweet 120 like slow mo.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ba boom, ba boom, ba boom.
Yeah.
All right, we've got more news to get to. Let's talk about this student loan forgiveness. Wow, this is a bombshell. Maybe it's because I don't want to be cynical. I'm not usually the cynical one on the show, but usually, President Biden, you know, his approval rating is like not good. It's in the 30s. Not good. So when when you got an approval rating that's in the 30s, you may say to yourself, hey, cabinet secretaries, come on in here a second. I got that. Is there something we can do to drive up that approval rating? So something we can do right now? Yeah, Mr. President, something we told you about months ago that you could do with a stroke of a pen, you know, through executive order, which is you could eliminate student loan debt for millions of Americans. Oh, okay. Yeah, why didn't I think of that before? Well, sir, you said you didn't really want to do that. Well, maybe I want to do that now. Now, look, I'm just being cynical. I don't know exactly how this played out. But I will say the Department of Education announced last night that it's doing a major revamp on the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Now, this started back in 2007, and it was a way to encourage people to work in public service. So if a person worked for 10 years in a public job and then made their eligible loan payments on time, they could qualify for forgiveness on all of the remaining debt. Well, unfortunately, it was not as simple as it sounded because there have been 1.3 million applications for this loan program, but only 16,000 have been accepted. And some rejected applicants were blindsided when they were told that the loan they were paying off wasn't the right type of loan to qualify for the program. What the heck does that mean? Like, talk about bureaucracy, right? They set up this thing to help you pay off the student loans back in under Obama, and it doesn't work at all. Doesn't make any sense. The Department of Education now says it's going to overhaul the whole program. So I have to think that President Biden or looking there with Department of Education secretary and saying, you know, what can we do here? Like, what can we do here under our certain guidelines that currently exist to fix this? Because it's not working. And they're going to restore the promise of this program. One of the biggest moves they're making is to try to cut all the red tape out of this, allowing people to apply for a waiver that makes every loan type eligible. So it's not going to be picking and choosing different loan types. I didn't even know there was like a whole bunch of different loan types for student loans. I mean, what does it matter? Right? I mean, you have private and federal. It doesn't matter which ones they are. Who cares if you got yours through Wells? I don't even know where you go to get a student loan these days. You know, I remember I think the Stafford loans or whatever they were back in the day. So you have to apply by October 31st of 2022. And if everyone can make that deadline, the department estimates that 22,000 borrowers will suddenly have zero debt. Zero.
22,000? Where'd that number come from?
I don't know. I guess because of the amount of time people have been in the program and they've already hit a certain threshold, so they would suddenly just have all of that debt wiped away. Over 550,000 people would be 23 payments closer to the 120 payments they need to get to zero. I know it's a little bit complicated, but let's go through who would. Yeah. This is what they say. I mean, this is the kind of
equation. I was in my mirror last night, and I came up with this little equation. If we do it this way, it's going to be 22,000. And then I think if we kind of hijack this number and move this over and add a decimal place here, we could get the other 500,000. But it's not going to be complete debt gone. It'll be about 50%. It's like, what? Get this madman out of there.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's exactly right, Lloyd. I mean, it's like, you know, what do you even mean by this? But this is what they say. Like, over 550,000 people will be 23 payments closer to the 120 payments they need to get to zero. I'm using their words, not mine. These are their words, by the way. No wonder nothing makes sense. I mean, no wonder people can't navigate the system as it is in the United States. It's a total friggin'
joke.
It's
like if I go to my stairway and I go walk down three steps and I stop, I'm three steps closer to the bottom. Just by, like, they're gonna just automatically make me three steps closer to the bottom of my stairway. Like, what does that even mean?
Right. Or is it just to the landing, or is it to the second set of stairs?
Right.
So, you know.
Well, that probably depends on if I have kids. Mm. If I have kids, they're going to move me down two extra stairs. And then if you got stimulus.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Judge.
Nothing. But, and then if you happen to get a stimulus check, then you get that minus the amount that you, like, it's 21 payments or 27 payments closer if you got stimulus. If you got both stimulus, it's 34 payments closer than the 120.
Right.
So.
And if you're a fan of Caddyshack 2, not fan of Caddyshack 1, then you get less money back for your student loan forgiveness plan.
Yeah. It's really simple math when you really read it.
Right. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Just like trying to apply for the eviction moratorium. Like, if this, then that, then this, then this, then that, then this. Oh, okay. No wonder no one's taking advantage of this program. Anyway, their goal is to make it easier, hopefully. So let's go through who qualifies for this, the new student loan. So if you qualify, it's $4.5 billion of student loan forgiveness. Here's what you need to know so far. Okay. Does anyone that has a student loan, does student loan forgiveness only apply to federal student loans? Yes. So it's a student loan forgiveness program only for federal student loans. That's what the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program focused on. There is no change in this new announcement under the new guidelines. So it's just for federal student loans. Do FFELP loans qualify for student loan forgiveness? Yes. So any prior student loan payments for FFELP student loans will now count towards this new plan, which are the Federal Family Education Loan Program, FFELP. Those were issued prior to 2010 by private lenders, but they were backed by the federal government. So it's technically a private loan, but it was backed by the federal government. Those would also qualify for this, which is pretty big. And how much is available? Well, right now, they say these policies will give up to, become eligible immediately would be about $1.74 billion. And there will be an additional 27,000 student loan borrowers could qualify for the additional $2.82 billion if they certify additional periods of employment. So you have to work in the public sector. We're going to have a certain amount of money set aside. It's going to be interesting to see, like, does someone come in at the deadline as, like, does not get in because they didn't hit this threshold, and now, like, they're the one person that passed the number. I mean, they've just got to have this be open-ended. Like, why are they going to have a cutoff point for this? And how do you apply? You can apply right for the waiver on their website if you go to studentaid.gov. So if you go to studentaid.gov here, that's not plugged in properly. Anyway, the website is studentaid.gov. Studentaid.gov is how you can qualify for this. And no, you don't have to consolidate your student loans. So if you've got multiple student loans, that's fine. You don't have to do, if you have direct loans, such as those Stafford loans, then these student loans are automatically eligible for this forgiveness program. So that's good. Some good, you know, do all student loan payments made to be made, or they have to be made in full every month? No, All student loan payments do not have to be made in full every month. So if you had a qualifying student loan repayment program required that a student loan borrower had to make a full student loan payment each month, the education department now has now waived that requirement, which provides more flexibility for student loan borrowers. So good news all around. You know, I mean, look, I still wish that the president would step in and say, all federal loans wiped away.
Stroke of a pen. That's all it would take.
Stroke of a pen. Maybe if his approval rating goes down into the 20s, maybe this one will get full student loan forgiveness.
What, yeah, because he literally, like, an executive action could do that. Just boom, done.
Mm-hmm. And COVID-19 student loan relief still counts towards student loan forgiveness. So the forbearance still counts towards the forgiveness as well. And if you get rejected, yes, you can appeal through the system. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff with this. But hey, upwards of $5 billion that are going to be put towards student loan forgiveness. So that's good news for these people. That is good news. I just wish they would, you know, Elizabeth Warren wants this fully removed. Chuck Schumer has said he wants up to $50,000 in student loan forgiveness, or all student loans wiped away in the United States. But President Biden had before said maybe 10,000.
Could you imagine the boost to the economy if they just relieved all student debt?
It would be unbelievable. It would be absolutely transformative. And I have to say, we can't just do this and then not do the other thing, right? We need to fix the student loan crisis in our country to begin with. So we can wipe it away, but it's just going to get back. Education costs are going back up, by the way. I don't know if you noticed the new report, like with inflation. Education costs are going back up. They're going to continue to go up.
You should not enter life with debt. You know what I mean? When you're out of college, you're entering life. You are entering the big time. You are an adult. You are going out to venture into this world to decide what you want to be, what kind of steward you want to be for the environment, for humanity. And if you're riddled with debt, it's going to really limit your options, because then you're going to feel forced to work at something that just whatever you can get that pays you whatever it does in order to pay that debt.
Yeah. Like, you're starting your life in your 20s and you've got $70,000 in student loan debt. And maybe you want to be a social worker to help other people, right? Imagine that. And you start out your life with like $40,000 in student loan debt to become a social worker, and you won't actually make money on the backside of this whole thing. Like, you're not going to have money coming in enough to even cover those student loan debts, because you're not going to be paid well as a social worker. So, like, this is the United States. We're just setting these kids up for failure.
Yeah, and you got that, and then you also got the credit card companies that prey on them when they're in college and get them into even more debt that way. You know, like, I think that, like, if they came out with zero debt, you would have more options, and I do. I think you would see more people doing things that were better for the betterment of society rather than going and taking a job at McDonald's because they have to pay their bills.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, we're going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about striking workers and this massive strike that's going on right now here in a second. Yeah. So let's talk about what's happening. You know, this is a story that you're not going to see covered in the mainstream media. Anytime over the past number of weeks, we've seen a number of different strikes happening at different companies, and there's been very little coverage, if any. I don't see it on the nightly news. I don't see it on any of the cable networks. It's just quiet, quiet. Why? Because those big billionaire corporations do not want any attention drawn to workers that don't feel like they are paid well enough or are getting the type of hours that they deserve, the type of benefits that they deserve. They're working all kinds of long hours. So do you think that these big companies that have the nightly newscasts and all of these things want to cover stories about workers' rights? Of course not. They never do. Maybe only if Bernie Sanders goes down to Alabama will we actually send a camera so that he can be at an Amazon plant and trying to drum up support for having them unionize. That's about the only time.
Well, that might trickle down to their, you know, to the newsrooms, to the people hold the microphones and running the cameras. And I guess those are probably unionized people anyway, but beyond that, well, you know,
in some cases, you know, like when I worked in Los Angeles at KTTV, in West LA at that Fox affiliate, forget the call sign, but anyway, KTTV, I had to join a union when I got there, and boy, am I glad I did. You know, I had to join a union, and because of that, my salary was higher. I was not forced to do like all kinds of crazy overtime. They really cared about their workers, and they protected their workers.
And the union was that strong. All of them, like not just the anchors, but also down to the, you know,
yeah,
lowest level,
the camera guys, the editors, the camera guys, everybody. They were treated well. And guess what? Those workers loved working there. And so many of those people are still there. Literally. I'm friends with them. I talk to them. My executive producer, the team, like they're all still there 20 years later. They're taken care of. And then I've worked at other places where they hated unions, you know, and they absolutely would not allow you to unionize. And so that's what happens in the United States. You know, unions keep getting squashed. They keep getting trampled on. Heck, we had the FBI just raiding a police union yesterday in New York City. Like the FBI just swooped in and like basically raided the offices of a union. Like unions in the United States squashed, right? So yesterday we see Kellogg's workers saying, "We're enough is enough. We are sick and tired of being treated this way, and we're done." So good for them. Kellogg's workers taking to the streets, saying, "We are not going to continue to work these ridiculous hours, making no money." You know, they're sending, and what they're doing is they're saying, "Hey, meanwhile, you're paying us like crap. You're forcing us to work these incredibly long hours. And you're also offshoring jobs." They're saying that these current union contracts expired, right? And now they have these accusations that the cereal giant is offshoring jobs. By the way, try to find some good information on this story in the United States, in United States papers. You can't. You know where you need to go? You need to go to overseas newspapers in order to get coverage of this.
Yeah, you see it on RT News.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you need to like go to The Guardian.
Most of the stuff that you talk about where you're like, you won't see this on mainstream media. I'm like, yeah, I saw it on RT.
Not surprising. Not surprising. Did I hit the wrong button here?
Oops. Whoa, what the heck did you just do?
Oh, what just happened there? Oh, my button here. There we go. Boom. I'm trying to get this laptop up here. So union workers in The Guardian covering this. Okay, The Guardian, UK paper. Covering this story, calling it death by a thousand cuts. Kellogg's workers on why they're striking. Well, the union took issue with the company's threats to outsource jobs from the U.S. to Mexico if workers refused to accept their proposals. "We're fighting for our future," they say. Shortly before the strike, Kellogg's announced plans to cut 212 jobs in Michigan over the next 2 years, including 174 positions that are represented by the union. Instead, they're going to send them to Mexico. The plant currently employs 390 workers. Kellogg cited plans to streamline efforts, relocate cereal production to other facilities in North America as reasons for the job cuts. This is after just 1 year ago we were hailed as heroes as we worked through this pandemic. 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. Now apparently we're no longer heroes. Very quickly you can go from hero to zero, added Beidelman, one of the workers. "We don't have weekends. Really, we just work 7 days a week, sometimes 100 to 130 days in a row. For 28 days, the machines run, and then they rest 3 days for a cleaning. They don't even treat us as well as they do their machinery."
Do they get free boxes of Frosted Flakes, though?
I'm sure that'll make them healthy.
Yeah. Adjustment to the PTO policy, a holiday pay change, and a plan to remove all union logos.
That's what they want. They want a cost of living adjustment. Okay. They want that elimination. And they want a transitional position to be permanent. They want policy changes. They want holiday pay change, removal of union logo from products. These are unresolved issues right now that are still on the docket.
goes from products. Listen. We spoke with one of the strike leaders this morning.
Everybody in this plant makes incredible sacrifices that most people wouldn't understand. They work 8 days a week, at least. And that's months on end without a scheduled day off. I mean, some people in the plant don't have a scheduled day off for the entire year. So
what?
We're not willing to accept that anymore.
Day off for the rest of the year.
That's insane. Like, I didn't realize there was 8 days in the week there.
Hey, didn't you ever hear the Beatles song, 8 Days a
yeah.
Week?
Heck yeah. It's one of my faves. You know?
I mean, death by a thousand cuts. That's what they're saying. It's like a death of a thousand cuts. They're slowly eliminating jobs out of the Lancaster plant, said Carrie Williams, who works in the processing and maintenance in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We had to work through this COVID for the last 2 years, and they've just shown disrespect for the union name. They even want to remove our union logo from the cardboard cereal box. They want to take their name. They want to take the union off the box. They're basically taking these jobs, shoving them to Mexico, because these unions in Battle Creek, Michigan, and in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, are saying enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Anymore.
I mean, they don't have a freaking. I mean, you don't have days off for the rest of the year.
Everybody in this plant makes incredible sacrifices that most people wouldn't understand. They work 8 days a week, at least, and that's months on end without a scheduled day off. I mean, some people in the plant don't have a scheduled day off for the entire year. So we're not willing to accept that anymore.
Aaron M. in our chat says, let's boycott their brands. Yeah, let's
read
do
the comment
it.
On the screen.
Cade? Kroger did this big PR thing about us being heroes during the pandemic. But were they to remove the hero pay, and they did it quietly so no one heard about it, been screwed over the whole pandemic. Unbelievable. Not unbelievable at all. Can you put the one from Ed up here? Ed Loans? Lanas? He was a union member at this union, BCTGM, Local 19 in Cleveland. I worked at Nichols Bakery in Navarre, Ohio. Left after 30 years. I left in 2003 with a full pension, and I'm still getting it. BCTGM is a great union. I love that they're supporting their workers, right? And all across the country at these different Kellogg's plants, they're saying enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I, you know, someone said let's boycott their brand. Absolutely. First of all, cereal is awful for you, right? Kellogg's, by the way, we have Kellogg's to blame for telling Americans like this is what you should be eating for breakfast, right? Wasn't it like cornflakes? Didn't Kellogg's own? Anyway,
yes.
The whole reason we eat this crap for breakfast, these sugary things that we put milk on, which by the way is also a cancer causing agent. Like, who's, you know, drinking milk when you're an adult? Anyway, don't get me started on this. Yes. Let's look up some of the crap that Kellogg's makes and boycott it, okay?
Well, you know, they are one of the original plant-based well-being companies. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
Pringles. No, that's it then. Let's see what Kellogg's. Let's see what their brands are.
Here, I'm on there. I'm going. Here we go. So we got Cheez-Its. Here's their cereal, Special K, whole wheat crackers. So here's all their brands. You guys want to know the illusion of choice? Here you go. They own all brand Apple Jacks, Cheez-Its, Fruit
Loops.
Yeah,
these aren't even real foods, by the way.
Like, Eggo, Corn Pops, Crispix. Hey, Garden
all
Burger.
All of this crap. All of this crap. I mean,
Kashi brand.
Pop-Tarts, Fruit Loops.
Raisin
Bran. Chocolate Frosted Flakes. Like, you would be doing your waistline and your liver and your colon and every other part of your body a service by stop eating any of this crap. You know? Stop eating any of this stuff. From our food from field to table. Yeah. Right. Yeah. K- Kellogg's family were honoring rice farmers, helping rice farmers reduce their climate impact, honoring food justice pioneers and heroes. Kellogg's responds to disasters around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they know the plant-based movement is happening, right? And so now they're advertising that at the top of their page. We're one of the original plant-based well-being companies. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at how plant-based this looks.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to have their Pop-Tarts? Yeah, that's a...
What plant is that icing from?
Man. Think about it. This is like 1980s bringing me back right here, right?
You know what, though? To be fair, sugar is a plant, so...
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right. Processed sugar is a plant. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ula Hula says, you mean they bought a plant-based company. That's right. Kashi, right? Yeah. Anyway, stop eating this crap filled with sugar, highly processed, terrible for your body. Awful, awful, awful. Like, cereal is just awful for you. Anyway, let's boycott this until they. I don't touch Kellogg stuff anyway.
So I don't either.
This is going to be easy for me to.
Well,
boycott.
At least that we know of.
Right. I mean, if just going through their brands.
Read the oat milk you're drinking.
Oat milk, by the way, is vegan, and
that's not owned by Kellogg's. What brand owns that?
No. Oatly.
Are they their own brand?
They went public. Good. Oatly went public a few months ago. Yeah. And they are plant-based. And they, by the way, approved by the European Union, which, you know, if they're approved by the European Union, that means that they have to go through all kinds of extra layers of stringent, you know, testing.
Yep,
and things like
that. That means
no
sodium benzoate, which you'd get in the U.S., which is a carcinogen mixed with certain vitamins, vitamin C and stuff.
Yeah. Mark Sparks says, Frosted Flakes gave me a mouthful of cavities. Yeah, I believe that. Kristen Swenson says, if you pile marinara sauce on a stack of Pop-Tarts, it tastes like pizza. Oh.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, man.
You know, I will admit, when I was a kid, I did love me some Frosted Flakes. I mean, Tony the Tiger, like, that stuff worked, that advertising. I loved that cereal. God.
Yeah, I mean, like, I liked Cookie Crisp. Like, what kid is like, cookies for breakfast? I remember the commercial, you know, like, cookies for breakfast.
Cinnamon Toast
Crunch. And mom's like, yes, you can have cookies for breakfast. And it's like, you realize what's in this crap? I mean, this is like, yeah, I know you're joking, Kristen. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Your Pop-Tarts with pizza sauce.
And licking Target carts. She's kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, snarky for life. It's just a matter of like what processing it's going through. Like what sort of GMO process is this, all of this garbage going through that we're, you know. Carolyn says, I'm glad I don't consume any of Kellogg's products. I would totally participate in boycotting that brand, not to mention it's unacceptable how they treat their employees. Thank you, Carolyn. Exactly. I do like the Cheez-Its. I will admit, even though it's like fake cheese, you know, they say it's real cheese, but it's like, come on, it's just like, it's garbage. You know, it's all processed garbage.
And but, I thought those were Nabisco. Is Nabisco Kellogg's then? Isn't it Nabisco Cheez-Its?
Oh no, you said Cheez-Its were on their website,
yeah,
right?
It was. But didn't you always think that was Nabisco?
I thought, yeah, maybe they bought, did they buy Nabisco? Kellogg's must have. I forget. I can't keep track of all these junk food companies like this.
Yeah, I'm looking again.
Anyway. But so, hey, good for them. Good for these workers. More strikes.
Kellogg's Cheez-Its.
Kellogg's Cheez-Its. All right. Yeah. Good. Plant-based proteins. Let's see what their plant-based proteins are. Oh, yeah, they're... Morningstar Farms, right? They bought these Garden Burger.
Okay. Nabisco is cheese nips.
Oh, okay. The imitation.
Yeah. Cheez-Its are the original.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, by the way, check out the video I just did yesterday on a plant-based company that's doing all kinds of awesome stuff in the frozen food stuff with actual plant, like not processed. Like that's, you know, that's definitely, excuse me, the movement that I'm looking at right now from an investor standpoint.
How scary is this? Kellogg's, from feeding the U.S. Army to going to the moon to making everyday moments great. So they feed our military. That's, imagine that's the quality of food that the military gets is Kellogg's.
Yeah. You're getting cereal at the military base. Like that'll set you up for success for about 30 minutes. Cornflakes. We can. Yeah, it's why we don't eat like a healthy breakfast anymore. You can thank Kellogg's because all their advertising back in the day. You know, cornflakes.
It just says we can thank Cadbury for ruining Easter with those Cadbury eggs.
Teresa says, I bought some Sargento cheese and it wouldn't melt. So bizarre. Like, this is the kind of crap that's in the American food system, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you buy that shredded cheese in the United States. It isn't like, I don't know if I'm speaking correctly here, but I've heard from multiple people, like the shredded cheese that you buy, in order for it to not stick together, they use like a wood pulp to keep it from sticking together and not clump. I know I've heard that from multiple people.
I like when my cheese clumps.
Yeah. But, you know, do you like your wood pulp? I guess you're getting your fiber. So they're putting like a wood resin or something to keep the cheese from sticking to itself. Like, this is the kind of stuff I think about, like Clark in a European or Christmas vacation, you know, when he works as like the cereal varnish guy, you know, like you're the one that came up with that non-nutritive cereal varnish, right? Right, Clark? Or right, John? It's like, yeah, it's Clark. Yeah. Non-nutritive cereal varnish. I got to go. My wife locked herself out of the house.
Oh.
And she's like, fine, I'll just water the garden for the last part of the show. She's like, can you come get me now? I'm like, okay.
Hey, does that mean the same thing it means over here? Water the garden?
No. She literally locked herself out.
Oh, okay.
I got to go see a man about a horse, though. And let my wife in. She's locked out. Yeah. Hey, let's catch up tomorrow then about that other stuff.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Much love to all of you guys. We'll see you back here bright and early 9 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow for another show. And be safe, everyone. I got to go. Let my
be
wife
safe.
In.
Have fun watering the garden, Natalie.
And see you, man about a horse. Peace.
Yeah. Peace.